Face matters. Now, I'm not talking about the images of the black hole we got this week, although those were very, very cool. I'm talking about the spaces where we gather, where we eat, where we sleep. Peter, in our story today, entered a new space, and that is what helped change the trajectory of our entire Christian tradition. Space matters. There are some spaces that are comfy, and there are others that make us uncomfortable. When I'm anxious, losing my patience, or just angry, I go and lay down on the ground in my garden. From that space, I am forced to remember the cycle of life, the energy that it takes to grow, the reality of what it takes to bear fruit, as well as to die. That space reminds me to breathe and to let go. Spaces matter. And we know it when we feel it. Sometimes you walk into a room and it just feels creepy and you feel it climb up your spine. Sometimes the space feels warm and cozy and home and you feel like your soul is at peace. In our story today, we learn that the spaces where we practice our faith make a difference, both in how we practice as well as at times how some space appears to be off limits. The book of Acts tells the story of the early church, just beginning. And here in our story, we learn of a major shift in worldview that we take for granted, a departure from doing things one way into another. God was still God, Jesus was still Lord, but how and where that was lived out took a shift. A little more background here. Christianity, before it was its own religious tradition, was simply a sect within Judaism. People of the Way, as they called themselves, continued to follow all Jewish purity and ritual law until the Spirit began to move around them in special encounters, in visions, in encounters with strangers, and also, as we see in our text, through heated conversation and debate around these new ways. Well, around the first century of the Common Era, the Roman Empire was expanding its boundaries. There was a convergence, so much of a convergence of ideologies, of philosophies, of ways of life. Christianity, as it was back then, was only a very small percentage, around 3% of the population. Peter, a leader within that early Christian church, returns to Jerusalem after spreading and telling the story of Jesus, probably anticipating being welcomed home and encouraged, is instead greeted by his fellow believers with consternation and condemnation. See, friends, from the beginning, Christianity has always been a journey of engagement, of questioning, of gathering information, and then choosing, with God's help, a path forward. In the chapter right before our text, Peter has this vision, which he retells here in our story, which led him to make the decision to eat with the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, the ones who were not pure or clean, like the ones he was speaking to now. He engages with the other, the outsider, the excluded, in response to God's call. Peter, through a vision or dream, follows what he believes to be the Spirit's call. At the same time, a Gentile or non-Jew has a vision to go and find Peter and to bring Peter to his own house. So this man comes and finds Peter and puts Peter at a crossroads. Does he trust the Spirit within him to trust it is from God and to follow a new path forward, or does he simply play it safe and do what he has always done? Well, he goes to the man's house and he shares a meal. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? The very same Spirit that came to those that early church at Pentecost had brought these dirty, defiled outsiders into the family of God. They didn't come to the people of the way either, did they? But the way, in this instance, Peter, went to them, and God was known there. One of the great gifts of Christianity, of being a daughter of the Jewish tradition, is that Christianity functions with the same assumption that God is already working and will continue to do so with or without us, and will be there whenever we figure out to show up where God is. Because even though God is shattering a powerful custom that prohibits eating with those who are considered unclean, not all theology or practice must go to the wayside. Peter is still trusting in the foundational belief that God is still moving and is still part of a long-standing theological tradition, a tradition that does not restrict God. And that is the tradition upon which we stand this day. It is still powerful enough of one as we gather today. After weathering a pandemic, this remnant of the faith, that in many ways, we stand on the tradition that God is still working, even as the pews are somewhat empty, and the classrooms don't have the din of children like it used to. However, the Spirit beckons us this day to perhaps evaluate the traditions, to help us redefine what is essential for us as people of faith. The times that we are living in are not for people who like to shut things out. Right now, everything is up for grabs. Figuring out where is up and where down is, who is right, who is wrong, what is in and what is out, take a lot of intentional work, and quite frankly, a bit of time. In business, in the public sphere, in religious circles, and in families, there's lots of sorting through ideas, opinions, knowledge, experience, as well as the individual internal work that each of us needs to do to process this new information that leaves us open to God's Spirit. We can't do that if we shut ourselves off from the ongoings of what is happening around us. Engagement takes energy. Listening takes energy. Listening to what is going on with others as well as what is going on with us takes energy. As many sociologists of religion and many church consultants are trying to help us understand what is happening in our world right now, one described it a few weeks ago in an article titled, A Season of Letting Go. She writes, congregations of all types are letting go. Some of us are letting go of our in-person pre-pandemic average worship attendance numbers, or we may be letting go of seeing colleagues in the office every day. Or many of us have been forced to let go of our comfortable feelings of competence and confidence because our role has changed, and to embrace instead new feelings of incompetence and insecurity. It's a call today to map our worlds, to let go of what we now know to be ill-suited to God's realm emerging among us this day. It's irrefutable that times change things, but it is also irrefutable that God continues to lead us, to shatter our expectations, and to create new traditions for the coming generations. Just as Peter was confronted and condemned by his brothers and sisters in Christ, any shift or movement will have growing pains. We aren't going to like everything. I wish we knew if Peter knew that he was altering an entire worldview and tradition. or if it was just a one-time thing, an exception to this rule of purity. Because we don't know, as we listen to God's Spirit, convicted by it and feel its passion, we don't know if some little shift will carve a path for an entire world to embrace the story and values of our lives of faith. But the call is clear. We must go to places unseen by the church. Instead of thinking of the table of Jesus Christ only lives in this building, Jesus is gathering people all over Findlay, in bars, in libraries, in fitness centers, in trailer parks, in fast food restaurants, and yes, around boardroom tables. We can invite people to join our table, but we can also join others where Christ is already hosting, perhaps in the ways that we find impossible to imagine. I think that's how Peter felt. But the vision, the call, the conviction, the courage led him to explore another way, a new way that leads to the same exact repentance and acceptance of grace. Love one another, Jesus reminds us in John. Be gentle as the Spirit moves us to and fro during these times. We can behave like Peter's fellow Christians that condemned him for eating with the Gentiles. Or we can ask the questions, watch for the Spirit's movement, and follow where she leads.